And so as we get started into this, page 3, speaking words of doubt and unbelief. And we quickly went down through this list. We don't often think about the significance of what we've said until weeds start growing up in our gardens and we wonder, where did that seed come from? And sometimes we have to go back in time to see if maybe we spoke something into existence and we'd forgot all about it, but the enemy didn't forget about it. So I know I'm not much into handouts with paper and stuff, but in this particular study, it's quite lengthy, and I just thought it might be helpful to keep it handy with you so that you can look and compare. Because if you'll see the first one, I tried it and it didn't work for me. Already the person is speaking words of doubt and unbelief. They're not really, they're not being diligent. They're not being faithful to walk it out and to just always wanting the quick way out. And so, if you go to the next page, number 1, Galatians 6:9, and you'll kind of get the gist of this rather quickly. Galatians 6:9. Okay, here's one agreeing with the devil when we speak words of doubt and unbelief, and the other one's speaking words of faith in agreement with God and His Word. So that's why hopefully we've got enough. Everybody got one now?
Take one for Priscilla.
Okay. And I don't know. I don't apologize for handing out these because I think it's going to be helpful so that it helps to bring a deeper understanding. The biggest topic in the whole Bible are words. Did you realize that? It's one of the biggest topics that's spoken about. It's because that's one of the ways that we're made in the likeness of God, as He spoke and things came into existence. And we speak and things come into existence. And I laughingly said one day, I've had to pray for a lot of crop failures. I don't really want that weed growing in my garden again. And there's one out here on the corner that gets into the ferns outside of the building. And it is a weed that is so strong that even with both hands, I cannot break that weed that's coming up in there. I put the Roundup to it last year, and that'll probably stunt it for a while. But it's strong, and sometimes words that we speak can get a stronghold or put a stronghold on others' lives. All right, so I tried it, and it didn't work for me. And so a compatible scripture is Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And that's very compatible because it's exactly opposite what the person has spoken. I tried it, and it didn't work for me. I've come to realize, and soon in my faith, there were certain drugs that I used to try. And some did it for me and some didn't. Because ultimately, if you live that life, and I don't know how many of you did, and I won't bore you with how close to death I came a few times because of it, but nevertheless, we're always looking for that higher high. If you ask anyone that's ever dabbled in heroin or mescaline or all the drugs that you could name that came out of the 60s and 70s, and those of us that lived during that time, we were always looking for that high that was going to take us to that place. And I tried it and it didn't work for me. Well, there was one I tried and my heart stopped, and that didn't work for me. And that was the one. So what happened is instead of repenting from the lifestyle, I just didn't do that one anymore. And so it is with words. So it is with circumstances. So it is with anything that you attempt to do in the Lord that's a good thing. And you're looking for the high that gets you higher. There's no greater than what we achieve or attain by our walk with Him. So it isn't something that we try. It's something that we make a quality decision to do. We've come to that place in our life when everything we tried kind of just came shattering down and fell apart. Or suddenly we got a realization that we need to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and confess Him as our Lord. And that begins the change to where we learn to not bring these kind of confessions into our faith walk, but because of habits and things that are deeply rooted in our lives over the years, that can be a long process. And we still may find ourselves saying things that we know we shouldn't. And so then we say, I know I shouldn't say that, but, and we say it. So, but it always gets us in trouble, isn't it? Yes. And so when the born-again experience happened for me, I can't answer for Faith because she got saved 2 days before me. We were each on our own pursuit, but I really pursued after I saw what happened to her. And it was something I greatly desired, and I didn't just want to try it. I wanted to make it a whole new life because that was how the gospel message was presented to us. It's not going to be like anything you've done. It's not going to be like anything you've tried. It's offering you, God is offering us a brand new life and leaving the old life behind. And I've heard different messages that other people have spoken. You know, it doesn't take very long to get out of Egypt, but it can take a lifetime to get the Egypt out of us. You know, as long as we still live in our earth suits, we are subject to our flesh being tempted, and without growing in willpower and making quality decisions about life changes, we're prone to falling back into those old patterns if we don't guard ourselves from that. So I tried it and it didn't work for me, but look at the counter promise. This is what God said. Don't just try it. Do it. Make it a part of your new life in Christ. And you'll see the results. And here it is. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not, or if we quit, or if we get discouraged and we give up and go back to, well, I tried that. That didn't work for me. So when you see God's counteroffer, you'll find that it's much more favorable. And His promises are true, every one of them. And there's usually a condition attached to a promise in a verse of Scripture. And one of the biggest words in the Bible is if. The next time you're reading the Scriptures, whatever book of the Bible you're reading, whatever chapter, look for the word if and see what follows it. If you do this, you'll receive this. In the other scripture that I had with that, because I had two, I don't know why I had two, I guess I thought they'd be twice as good. Hebrews 10:23. Don't you ever think like that? One is good, but two is better? Oh, okay. We're good then. Hebrews, not an unfamiliar portion of Scripture. I would be certain of that. Hebrews 10:22 and 23. We were in Hebrews chapter 4 earlier. This also is not unfamiliar. But if our enemy can get us to speak these kind of words, we really need to let the Spirit of God bring us to His kind of words. Hebrews 10. Mine is still attached. 10:23. Let us hold fast. The profession of our faith. Now, John had brought up Mark chapter 11, and it's the dissertation where Jesus talked about have faith in God, and he talked about what speaking to the mountain. And if we don't have any doubt in our heart and we speak to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, Jesus said the mountain would be removed. Jesus didn't say ask God to remove the mountain. He told you and I to speak to it because we have the same authority. He gave us that authority to speak his word. And Jesus also talked about, well, whatsoever you say, if you believe it, you'll receive it. Well, a lot of times these negative words and these little phrases are because people really spoke them in faith, believing they were true. And so in some measure, they spoke it in faith. And their motive was, see, I told you that was going to happen. And they're looking to always be the one that's going to point out a fault. Or the, let me see, if I looked at my glass of water today, I would see that glass almost full. But they would see it close to half empty. And so it's the negativity that leads us to speak these other kind of words. But this one says, let us hold fast our profession of faith. A profession can also be referred to as an occupation. If someone in the business community asks you, what profession are you in? Well, I could be a carpenter, I could be a painter, I could be a yard worker, I could be a preacher, I could be a teacher. Or it could be the words that we speak. What are we professing? What are we confessing? What are we speaking? What are we saying that ensnares us or entraps us? And yes, it's quick to get out of it. I told you about how quickly, after we talked about take care, and it doesn't take any longer to say cast your care. One is putting a burden on somebody that they ought not to be carrying, and the other is setting them free by telling them to cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you. So there's a scriptural principle involved. This isn't just a simple little funny teaching with sayings that we say that it would be better if we learned to avoid them. I think by the end of this, usually we did this 7 years ago, none of us, it seemed like we were, it's almost like, I'm not opening my mouth to say anything. And so the word worked. But then we got callous and careless, and these things began to come back without even realizing it. Hold fast. If I were just to throw that word out there with some audience participation, what are some of the definitions you would have for that phrase, hold fast? Does that mean grab it before it gets away? Like if you're fishing and it fell off your hook, hold fast, the fish is going to escape. What's your sense that means in the scriptures? Stand firm. Okay. Somebody else?
Quickly.
Mm-hmm. I like the verse we read earlier. It said be tenacious.
Yes. Tenacious is persistence. Willing, like a tug of war. And you hold that rope as though your life depended on it. And don't let the other side pull you over the halfway mark to the losing side. Tenacious is grip it. And I like to use mountain climbers. Anyone who's done a lot of hiking in mountains where you need ropes, those ropes indeed are lifesavers, and they don't let the rope go because they could fall to their death. And the same with our faith. What if we looked at our faith, well, I tried that and it didn't work. So what happens? We let go of it. And perils and troubles come, and we're slipping away because we tried it and we weren't satisfied with the results. We didn't have patience to walk it out. And before we knew it, it had slipped right through our hands. God offered us a beautiful way of life and a quality of life that we never had before. But because we got careless and just let it go, saying, oh, I tried that. Now I'm into new age. There's more demons that give me power. And people like power. And they're subject to being tempted in those areas. But to hold fast with our profession of faith, that's our lifeline from heaven. That's our lifeline from the throne, if you think about it. And Abraham is brought up again, I think it's in Romans chapter 4, and he chose to not let the natural senses or the natural reality of his earth suit keep him from obtaining the promise. And not only that, but the word said that he became like God and he spoke to those things that be not as though they are. And that's where we're going to go with this, speaking to those things that be not. You may not see yourself there yet, but if you continue to speak those words as though you are, it'll come to pass in your life. It's just a spiritual truth. It's a spiritual law, and we can't escape it. There are things that can bring discouragement very, very quickly for some. Some, I think, maybe are more prone to being discouraged than others. But it takes, there's got to be something in your guts. It may get tough, but we got to press on. We got to press in. We got to hold fast. We got to stand and stay the course. And so I don't want to make this light, but it says, hold fast without wavering. Wavering is a key word because James talked about wavering. And he talked about it in the realm of when you waver, you don't receive anything from the Lord. James said, let that man who wavers think that he'll receive anything of the Lord, because God doesn't know which way you're going to go with it. You say you want this, and so you ask in prayer, and then you change your mind. And so God's already starting to manifest things in your life, but you change your mind and you ask something different. And wavering is pick your course and stay with it. Don't go back and forth like this, because when you waver from him instead of to him or toward him. And so waver is a good word, because we started on our faith walk, and from the beginning, from the day that we became a believer, and now's not the time to start doubting if we made the right choice. And I can tell you there are a lot of people at a crossroads in their life right now. I know places, and I know people who have seen things happen since they became believers, and the pressure of the enemy became so almost overpowering that they considered just, I was fine before I made this confession of faith and nothing was bothering me, so I'm going back. And Peter said that's like a dog returning to its own vomit. And those aren't my words, those are his words. And that's basically what happens. And so that's why, even though because I've probably infected you with a twisted sense of humor, some of you at least, because that makes us let our guard down so that we can be open to what the Spirit wants to impart. If we can laugh at the foolish things that we say, how much more are we open to what the Spirit of God wants to say when our heart is in that place where we can laugh at the foolishness of our lives sometimes? that's a perfect opportunity. It's a setup for the Holy Spirit to come in and say, ah, now they're ready. Now they can hear this. And every day in our lives is an opportunity for him to get our attention. So I'm not going to try to do all of these in a week. I'm not going to try. I don't have a time limit. So we had this one and two verses of scripture today. So we can handle two portions. This is our daily delight for now. You can pursue these, because if you take them home, please bring them back, because as we have time, and because I always like to allow the Spirit to flow through our congregation and not get locked in just because, well, I've got this and I'm going to do this. I don't have that attitude. I'd rather have it be in the context of all of the other things that God does in our meetings. And right now, he's prompting me to ask any of you if you have any prayer needs for yourselves today.